Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 17 minutes, we'll talk to him about the entire interview as well. Cavs in action against the Pelicans. We'll, as soon as that one wraps up, get into some Cavs thoughts as well. But right now, 216-474-0092, do you think it's more than a one-year fix for the Browns? And before we get there, I want to go out to ex-Poker Dog. What's your thoughts on picking up Justin Fields this offseason and trying that next year and then keeping Watson as essentially the backup so you at least get something? Well, when you talk Watson as the backup, I would tell you that $70 million backups are a tough scene for any owner. But it's either a backup or he's not playing at all. And even if you keep him as a backup, who knows what the power dynamic there looks like of you pay a guy that and you keep him as a backup. Is he really going to give you anything even if he steps on the field? Who knows? Justin Fields, though, is one that I've bounced around to people because you look around and it's like, okay, somebody can say go get a veteran quarterback. I don't think you have a lot of money. So even Sam Darnold, right? The beginning of the show, I sort of ruled out a Sam Darnold. Because I think he's probably going to cost too much. Got $10 million this year, and then you play pretty well, so you're probably going to get paid some more. Fields would probably fall under the category of, yes, you can get him under that price. Are we really seeing anything with Justin Fields? Like, is there a version of Justin Fields that looks really good on this team? Because that doesn't seem like a scheme fit either. Boom, you got to see him play at Ohio State. You've seen what he's done in the league. I stopped Boom from enjoying food. Now I feel bad. But no, did any fit with the Browns?
Honestly, I would be concerned because I think that offensive line play needs to be fixed up before you invest in a guy like Fields. Now, he's someone who holds onto the ball a lot. We saw Deshaun had that issue as well. It didn't bode well. I also think another thing, they're really, speaking of that offensive line, the Browns organization seemed to really undersell the importance of Bill Callahan and his absence, because it feels like that has been such a huge pitfall for the team, for anyone that's been back there taking snaps.
Yeah, I mean, even looking like DeJuan Jones, I feel like is a perfect connection there for that idea. Another Ohio State guy. Like, under Bill Callahan, listen, the guy came in just naturally overweight, slimmed down. Again, he had the injury this year, came in a little overweight. But even the difference of like, hey, that guy looks like one of the best pass blockers in the league under Bill Callahan. And then he sort of steps in this year. Again, grain of salt, coming off of an injury, but definitely does not look the exact same. Like, he does not look like he's playing with the same intensity. The pass blocking's not there. The run blocking's showing more of the issues that we thought it would. Yeah, if you're going to go get Justin Fields, like, it has to look good. It has to look blocking for Joe Flacco good, right? Like, it has to look how you did under Bill Callahan to show any success.
And look, don't get me wrong. I would love to have Justin Fields on this team. I just don't have the faith that this current roster, as it's constructed, could protect him and keep him upright to the point where he would play up to your expectations that would keep you content.
Right, like, it feels like a Jameis situation to me, right? Like, I don't think Jameis Winston's winning you more than a handful of games, like maybe eight. Like, eight is probably the ceiling of Jameis Winston, because he's going to give you exactly what he's given you in the first 2 weeks. He's going to look really good some weeks, he's going to win you games, and then he's going to look really bad some weeks, and he's probably going to lose you games. You probably get, like, 8 wins out of a guy like Jameis Winston. You probably get 8 wins out of a guy like Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, he is the most quintessential roller coaster of just about any, sums it up about better than any other NFL player.
Yeah, like, it's, I like what I saw out of Justin Fields, too. I know you're talking about Jameis in that sense, but like, I like what I saw out of Justin Fields. Like, is he going to protect the ball more than Jameis? Yeah. But is he going to have some really duds offensively? Also, probably yes. Like, he looked better with the Steelers, I think more comfortable in the pocket, utilizing his legs more as like, hey, I have this in my back pocket, not of, hey, I need to use this on every single play. But the offensive line there is also protecting him. So he has the time to make an extra read. He has the time to look comfortable in the pocket. The current Browns offensive line, not so overly confident that he would look as comfortable back there.
Anyone who's back there has wound up running for their lives most of the time. Now, granted, Jameis,
3-touchdown game, offensive line looked good.
Yeah, it looked like they had a real redemption game out there, but then it was right back where they started last. I mean, even last week, Jameis had time and just made some bad throws, but there were still points where it just looked like they were getting bullied.
Yeah, I can't trust it with Justin Fields. I can't do it. Not with that offensive line. I would love to believe in it because I think Justin Fields actually still has potential, and I think he could look really good at some point, needs some development. I just don't think that helps you. And again, it puts you in a bad spot if you're the Browns, because if you're a team, you either want to be competing at the highest level or you're not going to tank on purpose. You're not going to tell anybody you're tanking on purpose, but you would like to be at the bottom so you get good draft capital. The worst place to be as an NFL team is like an 8-9 missing the playoffs. That's the worst spot to be. You don't have a chance at anything in the postseason, and you also are sitting in the middle of the draft. That is the worst possible place to be. Which brings back the question, okay, so if you're wanting to bring one of those guys in, it does to me feel like we could consider this almost a one-year retool, right? You bring one of those guys, maybe they compete, maybe you don't go to the draft this year, you see if that guy works. If he doesn't, okay, maybe then we go into the draft next year. It's something I'm torn on, and usually I'm not. Like, usually I can pick one side or the other, and I have a pretty definitive answer on things. This is one where it's like, okay, I'm very in between where you go. Is it actually a one-year retool, or are the Browns set up where it's going to be longer than that? It's going to be something more than just the single year. Like, on one hand, I'm thinking the Browns that won 11 games last year. And on the other hand, obviously a lot different than the team that's 2-7 right now. And because they're 2-7 now, is probably where you lean into, yeah, this is probably going to take a little bit longer. This is probably not going to be the 1 year and you're right back, which is hard to imagine. Again, as good as this team looked last season, it's hard to think that it's going to be more than just a year to get right back to that, right? You want to think, hey, it's a down year. Things didn't fall their way. They got the answer that they needed probably with Deshaun there. And now, I just don't think that's as simple as, hey, you have your answer. He's not the guy. Now go win. You're sort of piecing things together. You can't just go out and get another quarterback. You can't just go out and pay another guy. You don't have the money like that. And they do some crazy things with the cap, all right? They can kick some money down the road. They can find ways to still fit under the salary cap. That's one where it's like, I don't know how you're getting that done. You can't go pay a quarterback like mid-tier veteran quarterback money. You can't go pay somebody what Baker Mayfield's getting paid in Tampa. Right? Like, you are looking for a one-year deal that essentially Jameis is on right now. You get him for like $8 million and hope for the best. And then you still are tied to Deshaun for the year following. Like, even if a guy goes out and performs in that 1 year, unless you somehow get him to sign to a two-year contract, probably not likely, you're sort of stuck. I think that you're missing the most important piece in sports and paying $70 million to be missing it. That's a tough pill to swallow. And it's a tough one to keep competing. So to me, if you're asking me 1 year rebuild, I just don't see how this team gets back to where they are in 1 year without the answer at quarterback. And I honestly don't think you're going to find it. You might find somebody who could maybe push you into a playoff spot, maybe. But you're not going to find the answer. That's if the rest of the team goes out and performs. Which, if the team that showed up this year showed up next year, I mean, an average quarterback is not going to be the thing that fixes that. It's deeper than that now. Going into the year, you thought maybe average play gets you past it. Not this year. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Let's get to BP and Pepper Pike. BP, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, other than we got to talk about the Browns, so that's always a bit of a drag right now.
No, I understand, and I've said this for a while now. I mean, my biggest problem with the Browns is Dee Podesta. Paul DePodesta and Andrew Berry. To me, they're almost like, you know, they're joined together at the hip. None of us really know what DePodesta, you know, is responsible for, but, you know, I have to believe he's, you know, like the overseer of the entire, you know, football operation. So, you know, they don't make any draft picks or any transactions without his approval. So, you know, I kind of blame him and Andrew Berry for this roster, for the Deshaun Watson situation. And even like you guys are just talking about Justin Fields. Like last year, in the, I thought the Browns should have pursued Justin Fields really strongly from the Bears. I thought, you know, I was mad that the Steelers stole him for like, you know, $2 million a year. You know, I mean, I thought, yeah. I don't care. And people might say, well, you know, we don't want to bring in competition for Deshaun Watson. Well, that's BS. The Browns should have brought in Justin Fields last offseason back in March. And, you know, at least we'd have a competent quarterback here. Maybe we wouldn't be 2-7. You know, that's why I really think DePodesta has to go and Andrew Berry needs to go. I mean, is that you can just go and then go back at their draft pick since 2020. It's been a joke. Like you guys said, you know, they've drafted JOK. I think they drafted Grant Delpit. He's been pretty good. But that's about it. That's about it. You know, I mean, even Grant Delpit, they could have taken Antoine Winfield Jr. I think he's been a better pro. You know, you go back to one of the other drafts, you know, they took Jedrick Wills. They could have had, you know, Tristan Wirfs. Guy's freaking all pro. You know, it goes on and on. I've seen enough of Paul DePodesta. I've seen enough of Andrew Berry. I think Stefanski's a pretty good coach. I would hang on to him. But I think the Browns need to move on from those two guys because this is just a joke.
I feel like, yeah, somebody has to live up to sort of owning up for the mistakes of just this season and then on top of it being in the Deshaun Watson scenario. And BP, I got to let you go because we're going to be up against it here in a second. But somebody has to live up to that. Somebody has to be responsible for that. And again, I told you earlier, I think that's Andrew Berry. You can toss Paul DePodesta in there. Guys, I don't know what Paul DePodesta does. I don't think anybody does. Right? Like, BP is like, he's probably the overseer of the operation, right? Like, listen, I've seen Moneyball. I like Moneyball. Favorite sports movie out there. Okay? I know what he does in that movie. That's for a baseball team. What is he possibly doing here? Are we playing the analytics game? Is he sitting back there crunching on the computer? And by back there, I mean in California? The guy's not around. He doesn't show up. He's not in the building every single day. I don't know what he does. So, yeah, like, it's if it's on him, if it's on Barry, whatever guy pushed for it, I think you'll find out at the end of the season because I highly doubt it was Jimmy Haslam himself sitting there going, we got to go get Deshaun. I would probably think that it was somebody else really pushing for that. And you'll probably find out by at the end of the year, somebody no longer has a job, whether that be DePodesta, Barry. Unlikely, but maybe Stefanski. And if it's Stefanski, probably sitting here thinking, oh, well, there goes your fall guy. That's the guy out the window, at least in my eyes. All right, when we come back, Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter. He was there, listened to Barry talk today, asked a couple of good questions. We'll ask him about all of it. If you want to get in, 216-474-0092, it's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
So I am just fine.
Well, I don't blame you there because you had to listen to Andrew Berry talk for 25 minutes today. That would also make me want to crack open a cold one. So
I may not stop at just one.
I wouldn't. I can promise you. Once I get one, you can probably count on at least six. And preferably during like the morning today when Andrew Berry was talking. That might have been a good time to have six, but you couldn't do that. So I apologize.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, actually, I feel like it was a whole lot of nothing.
Well, hence that was something. I'm not sure what, but it was something.
It was what I feel like is, I talked about you last week. It felt like Ken Dorsey. It's the same thing. They talk, and I'm like, ugh, here we go. Maybe time for a nap. You might get to it. Although there's a chance that you feel like Andrew Berry could say something, but he never will.
I think Andrew Berry needs to find a better thought partner.
Yeah, another thought partner. That was a good line. I like that one from today. One of the lines that I really liked from you today, by the way, was one of your questions, which was, Daryl, what exactly does Paul DePodesta do?
Yeah, like, and of course he didn't answer it. No. But I kind of feel like we need answers. Somebody has to be accountable for this train wreck. And I kind of feel like if you're going to puff your chest out and act like you're smarter than all of us dummies out there, but you're back to being the worst team in the NFL, I think you owe some folks some answers as to why your thought process is as big of a failure as it is. Because that's what it is. Your thought process when it comes to Deshaun Watson, complete and abject failure. Your draft thought process, failure. Your free agent thought process, temporarily patching holes, spending a ton of money, messing up your salary cap for future year, total failure. So, like, I feel like fans deserve answers to questions, and that's all I tried to do today. That's why I asked them about Deshaun Watson's incompetence when in comparison to the backups that get dusted off, Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco, Baker Mayfield's a competent quarterback, more than competent quarterback, in Tampa Bay, went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Deshaun Watson can't go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. The DePodesta thing. Why did you blow up the offensive coaching staff last year? Or last offseason, I should say. Like, I think fans deserve answers to those questions. And I got to be honest with you, I was beyond infuriated and insulted that Andrew refused to answer anything today. Not just my questions, anybody's questions. It was downright disrespectful and insulting. The way he sat up there with a smug look on his face and the, I appreciate the question, now, bleep you, I'm not answering it. I'm just going to throw some word salad at you.
Yeah, that's all it was. It feels like it ever is with the Browns. Like, it's PR heaven. It's just fluff. That's all it is. They just throw you a bunch of fluff. But today, I feel like you're right. If you're going to go out and you answer questions, today's the day you go answer questions. You gave me nothing when I'm staring at a team who had Super Bowl aspirations, who's now 2-7, and you're giving me nothing. You're telling me we're going to go compete for the next 8 games. We're going to look better. That's what we need to focus on. What for what? You go 10-7, you have a chance to make the playoffs. And let me tell you, you're not. I've watched this team every single game this year, Daryl. I know you have too.
Yeah.
You ain't winning. You ain't winning 8 straight games. I can tell you that much.
Oh, no. They will be lucky to double their win total by the end of the year.
I would say that's fair.
That's where you're at. And this isn't getting better anytime soon. They are in salary cap hell. There's going to be evaluation about the dollars that have been spent and set on fire. Like, they have spent over $300 million in cash, which is a record for any NFL team. And they're the worst in football.
It's impressive.
You don't think ownership's not going to want to take a look at that? So, regardless if everyone was all in on Deshaun Watson or not, at some point, hopefully sooner than later, and the one piece of grace I'll give Andrew Berry today on is the Watson situation. The guy just had surgery. No need to kick him when he's down. I get that. But come January, he or the Haslams need to step in front of Browns fan and say, you know what? We really felt that acquiring Deshaun Watson gave us a chance to compete for and win Super Bowls. That's why we gave up the 6 draft picks. That's why we gave him the fully guaranteed $230 million contract. We're 3 years into this. Deshaun has not been available. The injuries are out of his control. The circumstances with which he came with, it hasn't worked out. It happens in sports. You take chances, and they don't work out. In this case, it doesn't work out. We plan to compensate Deshaun Watson in accordance with his contract that we agreed to and signed. We will abide by the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to Watson as an employee of the Cleveland Browns. But we stand before you to promise you, Browns fans, he will never step foot on the football field wearing a Browns uniform ever again. That's what they need to do. come January. They're not going to do it, but that's what they need to do. That's what they should do so that everybody can move on, including Deshaun. And if Deshaun wants to tear up his contract or whatever and work a trade, and fine. But he's not going to do that. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to do that. He wants his guaranteed money. But that's what needs to happen. The sooner they move on from that, I think everybody that roots for the Cleveland Browns can also move on, and it'll be easier to understand the pain that the organization is going to have to go through for 2 or 3 years to get beyond that contract.
Yeah, it feels like that's the what's got it. Like, I mean, I opened it up with the non-committal version of Andrew Berry for Deshaun Watson and just not saying anything, which, again, I think I can agree with you. Wasn't expecting him to say anything. Probably shouldn't say anything. But, like, you need an answer at some point. You can't roll the guy back out. No fan is going to accept that.
No, and nor should they. Because when he's gone out there, he sucks.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
That's a good way to put it.
That's why I asked. Hey, the backup quarterbacks you guys throw out there could throw for 300 yards. Baker Mayfield lighting it up in Tampa Bay. Your guy doesn't even resemble anything close to being average. Why? No answer. Not in a reflective mode. It's a collective thing. No, it's not collective. The offense mostly works when he's not on the field. This isn't a collective thing. This is a quarterback thing. Now, I realize that Jameis stunk up the joint last week, turning the ball over quite, you know, three times certainly had something to do with that, but, like, you know, I'm just saying, without Deshaun Watson on the field, the offense tends to work a lot better.
They definitely do. Daryl Wright with us here. Daryl, tell me if I'm reading too much into this. It almost sounded to me like Andrew Berry maybe throwing Kevin Stefanski under the bus a little bit at times, and then also putting him up on a pedestal. Like, there were times where he's talking about him being the two-time coach of the year, the youngest one ever to it, and the records that come with those guys. And then there's times where he's looking at this team going, yeah, I mean, we're disappointed with the 2-7 start. We expected to be better here. We should be better here. Like, that to me is, hey, I gave you the team. We should be better. What's happening? That's on your head coach, is it not? Like, it almost feels to me like Kevin Stefanski, get a little shove in the back as the bus is coming by.
The finger pointing has begun. That's what that was. This is what happens when, you know, Brown seasons turn into train wrecks, right? Ownership is going to want an account of what went wrong and why, and who's to blame. And Andrew Berry's sitting there saying, hey, roster's good enough. We were 11-6 last year, made the playoffs. I ran it back. Got Jerry Jeudy here. You know? and a little bit, too, with the question that I asked about blowing up the offensive coaching staff in the offseason. Well, that's a Kevin question. And then I dropped the ball here. I shouldn't. Well, Andrew, with all due respect, I've asked Kevin. He refuses to answer the question, so now I'm asking you. Because that's the way it works there. Kevin refuses to answer the question, so now I got to ask the VP of football ops. And then the next question is going to go to ownership. They're going to have to answer the question. But that's the thing. Fans deserve answers to these questions. I don't deserve answers to the questions. It's not about me. It's about the fans. The fans deserve to know why this football team has gone from 11-6 in the playoffs, expected to win to compete for another playoff spot, maybe the Super Bowl this year, and now they're the worst team in football. Fans deserve an autopsy here. And what Andrew Berry made very clear today is, we don't care. You're not getting the autopsy you're looking for. We're not in a reflective state. We're focused on the final 8 weeks of the season. And I'll just say this. If your focus on the final 8 weeks of the season goes as good as the first 9 weeks of the season, boy, what fun this is going to be.
Yeah, that's about where you're at. It feels like a question to me, too, that's not hard to answer, right? Like, I'm not asking you to throw all of the shade and all the dark secrets about, you know, what Alex Van Pelt wanted, even though we kind of already, I think, know the answer to those questions. But, like, you can give me something why you think Ken Dorsey gave you a better shot to win than Alex Van Pelt, and you know, you change out the running backs coach, the tight ends coach. Why? Right? I don't think it's rocket science to get that answer. It's not like you have to go throwing people under the bus or giving away top secrets.
Yeah. So, you know, this is where we're at. I mean, the only thing you learned from this press conference today was they didn't consider trading Myles Garrett, which I could also tell you that water is wet. The sky is blue on a sunny day, you know.
Well,
you sweat when it's hot.
At least he gave you an elaborate answer on that one, right? No.
Two letters. It was rather expansive.
That's all he's willing to give. Like, okay, thank you very much. Next question. If you had to take your stab, Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry, who's gone next year, if either?
Berry. He bought the groceries. And the groceries didn't perform.
We're on the same page. We're in the same spot. I don't know. It feels to me like head coaches typically go first in that scenario, but
yeah.
Fingers point and my eyes shoot to, hey, the GM is kind of the top guy on where that went wrong, no?
I kind of feel like that both will go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they decide to make changes, I think both go. Because I don't think it can be one or the other. Right?
Yeah.
I just looking at this and the performance, I don't think you could say one or the other. I think, and typically what the Haslams do in these situations where the finger point is going, oh, no, it's him. No, it's him. It's the roster. No, it's the coaching, right? Typically when that happens, the Haslam say, you know what, I don't want to hear from either one of you. You're both gone. That's typically how they handle those situations. Now, there's also what's behind door number three, and that is, look, we just gave these guys extensions. We finally had some stability here. We have two of the five seasons playoffs. There are explanations for two of the seasons going south. There could be an explanation for this particular season going south privately behind closed doors that they don't want out there, right? So you do have to allow for that. So behind door number three is they stay the course, and these guys come back next year.
That would be something. That would be a whole lot of nothing held accountable, it feels like to me. That's what it feels like. And that would be a little bit of a risk.
But you know, I do think, though, they could get away with firing Ken Dorsey, and that's the pound of flesh to make fans happy. Hey, you know, And that coincides with them moving on from Deshaun, because the only reason Ken Dorsey is here is because of Deshaun, right? They did that in the name of making Deshaun better. So if you commit to moving on from Deshaun, you get Ken Dorsey the hell out of here as quickly as possible. There's your, you know, we got a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive direction. Here's our stopgap quarterback, and you know, we are going to try and compete like heck to get back to the playoffs because the core of the team remains intact. David Njoku, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, right? So the knee-jerk reaction is fire everybody, and that doesn't always work. And obviously we know the Browns' history when they do that, right? It tends not to go well. And the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the road, all those cliches, right? So I think that you do have to allow for the possibility that these guys get another crack at it next year together. But my suggestion would be, because look, I think Kevin Stefanski is a real good coach. I agree wholeheartedly with Andrew Berry. I have a ton of respect for Andrew Berry personally and professionally. I just did not appreciate how that press conference was handled today at all. You know, where you have this catastrophic disaster of a season, and you are unwilling to provide an answer to singular, basic questions. I just feel it was insulting to your fans.
All right, Darrell, I got one more for you. Final eight games of the season. What should fans be rooting for here at this point?
That it's entertaining, right? I don't know that they're going to win a lot, but I would say you're rooting for the product to be fun and entertaining. You know, Jameis has a game where he throws four touchdown passes. but he also throws three interceptions, right? I mean, like, that if you're a fan right now of the Browns, that's what you're rooting. Yeah, just make it fun for me to watch. Give me, as a fan, a reason to watch. If I were to put myself in a Browns fan's shoes, that's what I'd want for the rest of the season. I'm not rooting for losses for draft picks and all that kind of stuff, because I'm not going to sit here and go down every single draft pick, especially first and second rounder, that this franchise has blown since 1999. It's the number one reason I wasn't even interested, aside from actually understanding how the salary cap works and knowing they could not trade Myles Garrett. It's the number one reason why I don't want to trade Myles Garrett, because you could give me 20 draft picks. I know what this franchise does with first-round draft picks. They blow them. You're not finding another Myles Garrett. I don't trust these people to find another Myles Garrett. So, no, I'm not interested. I'll stick with the generational talent, please, and thank you. Proven talent over hopes, wishes, and dreams every day and twice on Sunday for me. But, yeah, just hope the product's entertaining down the stretch.
Daryl, appreciate you as always, and enjoy cracking that one, and crack one for me, and then maybe a few more.
Cheers, my friend.
Yes, sir. Have a good one. Appreciate you, Daryl. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, I want to talk about the last thing I talked about with Daryl there. What do the Browns look like for the rest of the year, and what should you want them to look like? Still got some good things here. Just talk to Daryl Ryder. Daryl, listen, you can get a fiery Daryl. We got a fiery Daryl today. He not happy with the Andrew Berry press conference. And I told you he got a whole lot of nothing out of him, and Daryl told you exactly why that's a problem, okay? A downright load of disrespect. Just complete disrespect to not only the people in the media room who it wasn't really disrespectful to, as Daryl said, but, like, to the fans. The fans want answers. The fans deserve answers. We would like to know what is happening with the team, why they're struggling, and actually get answers to the questions on everything that went around with this team. But instead, you get a bunch of fluff and a whole lot of nothing. And my favorite thing that Andrew Berry gives you there is, hey, we're not reflecting. We're going back, and we're going to see what it looks like these last eight games, right? We're going to look to compete in the last eight games. What's the point of competing for the rest of the year? And Daryl told you, I mean, he's not high on the Browns to make a single draft pick, but if you go out there and win games, like, let's say you won five games for the rest of the year, right? You finish 7-10. Yep. Not going to be in the playoffs. That's the news coming to your door there. If you finish 7-10, you ain't going anywhere. You're going to be drafted in the middle of the...
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Draft and you got nothing, right? I don't trust the Browns to make a pick for a lick of anything. No shot. They've shown me they can't do it. They have not shown me yet that they can. Congratulations. You have the number one pick when Myles Garrett was staring you in the face. Pretty simple one there. Generational talent. As of right now, not in this draft. Has not been clear in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it's going to be. So why play good football for the rest of the year? Why improve and look better this year? For fan entertainment, all in for that. I'm going to watch the rest of the games. I hope I get to see something that doesn't put me to sleep on Sundays, or as they're currently scheduled to play on Thursdays, Mondays, Sunday nights, and Sundays. Probably not going to be all those, but we'll see. Especially that Sunday night against Miami. If that one stays right there, I'll be blasphemed. I'll be shocked. I'll be stunned. Bamboozled. Pick your word. Not going to stay there. No chance. But, like, you're competing for the rest of the year for what? Like, the year is chalked. You're not making the playoffs. Impossible chance. This team would have to win eight games out of eight games. They're not doing that. You play the Chiefs. You play all of your divisional games, practically. There's no chance. The Dolphins, even. Like, that team's, compared to how we're playing, you're not looking that one too happily either. You're not winning 8 games. So you're basically done. There's no chance to compete this year. And even if you're sitting there thinking, well, for the rest of the year, let's just try out some of the young guys. This roster is not young. I think I was talking to BP earlier. Like, it is one of the oldest rosters in the NFL when they came in this year. Granted, they unloaded Za'Darius Smith. They unloaded Amari Cooper. You got rid of those guys. A couple of older pieces maybe brought the age down a little bit. But it's one of the older teams in the NFL. There's not a ton of young guys to try out that you aren't already trying out. Like, Jerry Jeudy already has all the reps. Cedric Tillman now already getting all the reps. Michael Hall in the mix. All of these guys are getting the reps that they want to be getting. It's not like there's something new. The only thing you can try out at this point is DTR. Okay. If that's what you want to do. That doesn't really do a whole lot for me. I don't know if I'm sitting around waiting for DTR to fly onto the scene. I just don't think that's going to be happen. I just don't know what the point in competing this year is. To me, it's the Browns go in, you admit, you take accountability for everything about Deshaun, for everything that went wrong this season, that you took the wrong steps, right hand in the air. That one's on me. It's just so hard for the Browns to do. And we're never going to get it. They're never going to admit to that. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones really quick. Let's get to Mitch in St. Clair. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. What do you got?
I agree with you. There's nothing we can do. We have to just go to the draft. Got to get a quarterback. I think the Deshaun Watson project is over with. I think that shoulder injury is way worse than what we thought. We was all thinking, like, maybe he comes back as Superman. No, that's not the case. I think that project is well done with. I think that you need to either get Shador, which I don't believe you can get because Deion sees that we are in turmoil and he's not going to want his son in this environment. So the next best thing would be Cam Ward, in my opinion. You got to grab a quarterback because there's no way we're winning. I don't see us winning against Pittsburgh twice. I don't see us beating Cincy. I don't see us beating Baltimore again because they're going to have some revenge on their mind. I don't see Kansas City, the Dolphins, who else we play. We are going to lose every game. So, be entertaining. Let's do what we did prior to 2018. We was rooting for the number one overall pick, Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield. We got Denzel Ward. We was happy about the draft. Let's get back to the roots. Because this right here, this is terrible. And you can't, like you said, we got no team. Not playing young players. I mean, I do like our wide receiver. I got him on my fantasy team. He's giving me numbers.
Keep putting him out there. No problem with that.
I like him on my fantasy team. I'm looking forward to the fantasy team because of him. Chubb doesn't have an offensive line. He's trying to get back to himself. His old self, I should say. It's just the situation that we're in. And we put ourselves in this situation. And I said we should keep Baker. And look at Baker now. I mean, this is – before I go, Peter Landon, before I go, I just want to say this. Everybody wanted to argue because they're still saying, oh, Baker's garbage, this Baker's garbage, that. All we had to do was, like, let him get the surgery. Deshaun Watson didn't even play a whole year, so you didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And now he's leading the league in touchdown passes, even without his two main wide receivers. You got Watson out here when you had Amari Cooper. You got him so much help when you got him Jerry Jeudy, and you got Moore and drafted a wide receiver. And granted, Winston was terrible last week, but the week before, he beat Baltimore. And your boy couldn't even put up 125, 150 yards per game. It's just sad. And I think the best thing for us people to do is just sit back and wait for a quarterback to come be our savior again. So sad.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Mitch. A double Peter Lynn drop. It's Jake Volnick on overtime right now. That's all right, though. If you want to hear more, JP. Listen, anytime I get confused for JP, that's a nice tug on the heartstring because we're doing something right if we got that, all right? At least the voice is similar. That's something good. But if you want to hear JP, afternoon drive from now on, that's where you go. But new segment I want to try out. We'll explain it when we come back. Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
So I am just fine.
Well, I don't blame you there because you had to listen to Andrew Berry talk for 25 minutes today. That would also make me want to crack open a cold one. So
I may not stop at just one.
I wouldn't. I can promise you. Once I get one, you can probably count on at least six. And preferably during like the morning today when Andrew Berry was talking. That might have been a good time to have six, but you couldn't do that. So I apologize.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, actually, I feel like it was a whole lot of nothing.
Well, hence that was something. I'm not sure what, but it was something.
It was what I feel like is, I talked about you last week. It felt like Ken Dorsey. It's the same thing. They talk, and I'm like, ugh, here we go. Maybe time for a nap. You might get to it. Although there's a chance that you feel like Andrew Berry could say something, but he never will.
I think Andrew Berry needs to find a better thought partner.
Yeah, another thought partner. That was a good line. I liked that one from today. One of the lines that I really liked from you today, by the way, was one of your questions, which was, Darryl, what exactly does Paul DePodesta do?
Yeah, like, and of course he didn't answer it.
No.
But I kind of feel like we need answers. Somebody has to be accountable for this train wreck. And I kind of feel like if you're going to puff your chest out and act like you're smarter than all of us dummies out there, but you're back to being the worst team in the NFL, I think you owe some folks some answers as to why your thought process is as big of a failure as it is. Because that's what it is. Your thought process when it comes to Deshaun Watson, complete and abject failure. Your draft thought process, failure. Your free agent thought process, temporarily patching holes, spending a ton of money, messing up your salary cap for future year, total failure. So, like, I feel like fans deserve answers to questions, and that's all I tried to do today. That's why I asked them about Deshaun Watson's incompetence when in comparison to the backups that get dusted off, Jameis Winston and Joe Flacco. Baker Mayfield's a competent quarterback, more than competent quarterback, in Tampa Bay, went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Deshaun Watson can't go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. The DePodesta thing. Why did you blow up the offensive coaching staff last year? Or last offseason, I should say? Like, I think fans deserve answers to those questions. And I got to be honest with you, I was beyond infuriated and insulted that Andrew refused to answer anything today. Not just my questions, anybody's questions. It was downright disrespectful and insulting. The way he sat up there with a smug look on his face and the, I appreciate the question. Now, bleep you, I'm not answering it. I'm just going to throw some word salad at you.
Yeah, that's all it was. It feels like it ever is with the Browns. Like, it's PR heaven. It's just fluff. That's all it is. They just throw you a bunch of fluff. But today, I feel like you're right. If you're going to go out and you answer questions, today's the day you go answer questions. You gave me nothing when I'm staring at a team who had Super Bowl aspirations, who's now 2-7, and you're giving me nothing. You're telling me, we're going to go compete for the next 8 games. We're going to look better. That's what we need to focus on. What for what? You go 10-7, you have a chance to make the playoffs. And let me tell you, you're not. I've watched this team every single game this year, Darryl. I know you have too.
Yeah.
You ain't winning 8 straight games. I can tell you that much.
Oh, no. They will be lucky to double their win total by the end of the year.
I would say that's fair.
That's where you're at. yeah. And this isn't getting better anytime soon. They are in salary cap hell. There's going to be evaluation about the dollars that have been spent and set on fire. Like, they have spent over $300 million in cash, which is a record for any NFL team. And they're the worst in football.
It's impressive.
You don't think ownership's not going to want to take a look at that? So, regardless if everyone was all in on Deshaun Watson or not, at some point, hopefully sooner than later, and the one piece of grace I'll give Andrew Berry today on is the Watson situation. The guy just had surgery. No need to kick him when he's down. I get that. But come January, he or the Haslams need to step in front of Browns fan and say, you know what? We really felt that acquiring Deshaun Watson gave us a chance to compete for and win Super Bowls. That's why we gave up the 6 draft picks. That's why we gave him the fully guaranteed $230 million contract. We're 3 years into this. Deshaun has not been available. The injuries are out of his control. The circumstances with which he came with, it hasn't worked out. It happens in sports. You take chances, and they don't work out. In this case, it doesn't work out. We plan to compensate Deshaun Watson in accordance with his contract that we agreed to and signed. We will abide by the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to Watson as an employee of the Cleveland Browns. But we stand before you to promise you, Browns fans, he will never step foot on the football field wearing a Browns uniform ever again. That's what they need to do come January. They're not going to do it, but that's what they need to do. That's what they should do so that everybody can move on, including Deshaun. And if Deshaun wants to tear up his contract or whatever and work a trade, and fine. But he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He wants his guaranteed money. But that's what needs to happen. The sooner they move on from that, I think everybody that roots for the Cleveland Browns can also move on, and it'll be easier to understand the pain that the organization is going to have to go through for 2 or 3 years to get beyond that contract.
Yeah, it feels like that's the what's got it. Like, I mean, I opened it up with the non-committal version of Andrew Berry for Deshaun Watson and just not saying anything, which, again, I think I can agree with you. Wasn't expecting him to say anything, probably shouldn't say anything, but, like, you need an answer at some point. You can't roll the guy back out. No fan is going to accept that.
No, and nor should they, because when he's gone out there, he sucks.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
That's a good way to put it.
That's why I asked, hey, the backup quarterbacks you guys throw out there could throw for 300 yards. Baker Mayfield's lighting it up in Tampa Bay. Your guy doesn't even resemble anything close to being average. Why? No answer. Not in a reflective mode. It's a collective thing. No, it's not collective. The offense mostly works when he's not on the field. This isn't a collective thing. This is a quarterback thing. Now, I realize that Jameis stunk up the joint last week, turning the ball over three times certainly had something to do with that. But, like, you know, I'm just saying, without Deshaun Watson on the field, the offense tends to work a lot better.
They definitely do. Daryl Wright with us here. Daryl, tell me if I'm reading too much into this. It almost sounded to me like Andrew Berry maybe throwing Kevin Stefanski under the bus a little bit at times, and then also putting him up on a pedestal. Like, there were times where he's talking about him being the two-time coach of the year, the youngest one ever to it, and the records that come with those guys. And then there's times where he's looking at this team going, yeah, I mean, we're disappointed with the 2-7 start. We expected to be better here. We should be better here. Like, that to me is, hey, I gave you the team. We should be better. What's happening? That's on your head coach. Is it not? Like, it almost feels to me like Kevin Stefanski, get a little shove in the back as the bus is coming by.
The finger pointing has begun. That's what that was. This is what happens when, Brown seasons turn into train wrecks, right? Ownership is going to want an account of what went wrong and why, and who's to blame. And Andrew Berry's sitting there saying, hey, roster's good enough. We were 11-6 last year, made the playoffs. I ran it back. Got Jerry Jeudy here. And a little bit too with the question that I asked about blowing up the offensive coaching staff in the offseason. Well, that's a Kevin question. And then I dropped the ball here. I shouldn't. Well, Andrew, with all due respect, I've asked Kevin. He refuses to answer the question, so now I'm asking you. Because that's the way it works there. Kevin refuses to answer the question, so now I've got to ask the VP of football ops. And then the next question is going to go to ownership. They're going to have to answer the question. But that's the thing. Fans deserve answers to these questions. I don't deserve answers to the questions. It's not about me. It's about the fans. The fans deserve to know why this football team has gone from 11-6 in the playoffs, expected to win to compete for another playoff spot, maybe the Super Bowl this year, and now they're the worst team in football. Fans deserve to know, deserve an autopsy here. And what Andrew Berry made very clear today is, we don't care. You're not getting the autopsy you're looking for. We're not in a reflective state. We're focused on the final 8 weeks of the season. And I'll just say this. If your focus on the final 8 weeks of the season goes as good as the first 9 weeks of the season, boy, what fun this is going to be.
Yeah, that's about where you're at. It feels like a question to me, too, that's not hard to answer, right? Like, I'm not asking you to throw all of the shade and all the dark secrets about, you know, what Alex Van Pelt wanted, even though we kind of already, I think, know the answer to those questions. But, like, you can give me something why you think Ken Dorsey gave you a better shot to win than Alex Van Pelt, and, you know, you change out the running backs coach, the tight ends coach. Why? I don't think it's rocket science to get that answer. It's not like you have to go throwing people under the bus or giving away top secrets.
Yeah, so... you know, this is where we're at. I mean, the only thing you learned from this press conference today was they didn't consider trading Myles Garrett, which I could also tell you that water is wet. The sky is blue on a sunny day. You know,
well,
you
I
sweat
mean,
when it's hot.
At least he gave you an elaborate answer on that one, right? No.
Two letters. It was rather expansive.
That's all he's willing to give. Like, okay, thank you very much. Next question. If you had to take your stab, Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry, who's gone next year, if either?
Berry. He bought the groceries. And the groceries didn't perform.
We're on the same page. We're in the same spot. I don't know. It feels to me like head coaches typically go first in that scenario, but
yeah.
Fingers point and my eyes shoot to, hey, the GM is kind of the top guy on where that went wrong, no?
I kind of feel like that both will go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they decide to make changes, I think both go. Because I don't think it can be one or the other. Right?
Yeah.
I just, looking at this and the performance, I don't think you could say one or the other. I think, and typically what the Haslams do in these situations where the finger pointing is going, oh, no, it's him. No, it's him. It's the roster. No, it's the coaching, right? Typically when that happens, the Haslam say, you know what, I don't want to hear from either one of you. You're both gone. That's typically how they handle those situations. Now, there's also what's behind door number three. And that is, look, we just gave these guys extensions. We finally had some stability here. We have two of the five seasons playoffs. There are explanations for two of the seasons going south. There could be an explanation for this particular season going south privately behind closed doors that they don't want out there, right? So you do have to allow for that. So behind door number three is they stay the course and these guys come back next year.
That would be something. That would be a whole lot of nothing held accountable, it feels like to me. That's what it feels like. And that would be a little bit of a risk.
But you know, I do think, though, they could get away with firing Ken Dorsey, and that's the pound of flesh to make fans happy. Hey, you know, and that coincides with them moving on from Deshaun, because the only reason Ken Dorsey is here is because of Deshaun, right? They did that in the name of making Deshaun better. So if you commit to moving on from Deshaun, you get Ken Dorsey the hell out of here as quickly as possible. There's your, you know, we got a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive direction. Here's our stopgap quarterback. And, you know, we are going to try and compete like heck to get back to the playoffs because the core of the team remains intact. David Njoku, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, right? So the knee-jerk reaction is fire everybody, and that doesn't always work. And obviously we know the Browns' history when they do that, right? It tends not to go well. And the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the road, all those cliches, right? So I think that you do have to allow for the possibility that these guys get another crack at it next year together. But my suggestion would be, because look, I think Kevin Stefanski is a real good coach. I agree wholeheartedly with Andrew Berry. I have a ton of respect for Andrew Berry personally and professionally. I just did not appreciate how that press conference was handled today at all. Where you have this catastrophic disaster of a season and you are unwilling to provide an answer to singular basic questions. I just feel it was insulting to your fans.
All right, Darrell, I got one more for you. Final 8 games of the season. What should fans be rooting for here at this point?
That it's entertaining, right? I don't know that they're going to win a lot, but I would say you're rooting for the product to be fun and entertaining. You know, Jameis has a game where he throws 4 touchdown passes, but he also throws 3 interceptions, right? I mean, like, that if you're a fan right now of the Browns, that's what you're rooting. Yeah, just make it fun for me to watch. Give me, as a fan, a reason to watch. If I were to put myself in a Browns fan's shoes, that's what I'd want for the rest of the season. I'm not rooting for losses for draft picks and all that kind of stuff, because I'm not going to sit here and go down every single draft pick, especially first and second rounder, that this franchise has blown since 1999. It's the number one reason I wasn't even interested, aside from actually understanding how the salary cap works and knowing they could not trade Myles Garrett. It's the number one reason why I don't want to trade Myles Garrett, because you could give me 20 draft picks. I know what this franchise does with first-round draft picks. They blow them. You're not finding another Myles Garrett. I don't trust these people to find another Myles Garrett. So, no, I'm not interested. I'll stick with the generational talent, please, and thank you. Proven talent over hopes, wishes, and dreams. Every day and twice on Sunday for me. Hope the product's entertaining down the stretch.
Darrell, appreciate you as always, and enjoy cracking that one, and crack one for me, and then maybe a few more.
Cheers, my friend.
Yes, sir. Have a good one. Appreciate you, Darrell. Darrell Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, I want to talk about the last thing I talked about, Darrell, there. What do the Browns look like for the rest of the year, and what should you want them to look like? Still got some good things here. Just talk to Darrell Ryder. Darrell, listen, you can get a fiery Darrell. We got a fiery Darrell today. He's not happy with the Andrew Berry press conference. And I told you got a whole lot of nothing out of him, and Darrell told you exactly why that's a problem. Okay? A downright load of disrespect. Complete disrespect to not only the people in the media room who it wasn't really disrespectful to, as Darrell said, but like to the fans. The fans want answers. The fans deserve answers. We would like to know what is happening with the team, why they're struggling, and actually get answers to the questions on everything that went around with this team. But instead, you get a bunch of fluff and a whole lot of nothing. And my favorite thing that Andrew Berry gives you there is, hey, we're not reflecting. We're going back, and we're going to see what it looks like these last 8 games, right? We're going to look to compete in the last 8 games. What's the point of competing for the rest of the year? And Darryl told you, I mean, he's not high on the Browns to make a single draft pick, but if you go out there and win games, like let's say you won 5 games for the rest of the year, right? You finish 7-10. Yep. Not going to be in the playoffs. That's the news coming to your door there. If you finish 7-10, you ain't going anywhere. You're going to be drafted in the middle of the draft, and you got nothing, right? I don't trust the Browns to make a pick for a lick of anything. No shot. They've shown me they can't do it. They have not shown me yet that they can. Congratulations. You have the number one pick when Myles Garrett was staring you in the face. Pretty simple one there. Generational talent. As of right now, not in this draft. Has not been clear in any way, shape, or form. I don't think it's going to be. So why play good football for the rest of the year? Why improve and look better this year? For fan entertainment, all in for that. I'm going to watch the rest of the games. I hope I get to see something that doesn't put me to sleep on Sundays. Or as they're currently scheduled to play on Thursdays, Mondays, Sunday nights, and Sundays. Probably not going to be all those, but we'll see. Especially that Sunday night against Miami. If that one stays right there, I'll be blasphemed. I'll be shocked. I'll be stunned. Bamboozled. Pick your word. Not going to stay there. No chance. But like, you're competing for the rest of the year for what? Like, the year is chalked. You're not making the playoffs. Impossible chance. This team would have to win 8 games out of 8 games. They're not doing that. You play the Chiefs. You play all of your divisional games practically. There's no chance. The Dolphins even. Like, that team's, compared to how we're playing, you're not looking that one too happily either. You're not winning 8 games. So you're basically done. There's no chance to compete this year. And even if you're sitting there thinking, well, for the rest of the year, let's just try out some of the young guys. This roster is not young. I think I was talking to BP earlier. Like, it is one of the oldest rosters in the NFL when they came in this year. Granted, they unloaded Za'Darius Smith. They unloaded Amari Cooper. You got rid of those guys. A couple of older pieces maybe brought the age down a little bit. But it's one of the older teams in the NFL. There's not a ton of young guys to try out that you aren't already trying out. Like, Jerry Jeudy already has all the reps. Cedric Tillman now already getting all the reps. Michael Hall in the mix. All of these guys are getting the reps that they want to be getting. It's not like there's something new. The only thing you can try out at this point is DTR. Okay. If that's what you want to do. That doesn't really do a whole lot for me. I don't know if I'm sitting around waiting for DTR to fly onto the scene. I just don't think that's going to be happen. I just don't know what the point in competing this year is. To me, it's the Browns go in, you admit, you take accountability for everything about Deshaun, for everything that went wrong this season, that you took the wrong steps, right hand in the air. That one's on me. It's just so hard for the Browns to do. And we're never going to get it. They're never going to admit to that. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones really quick. Let's get to Mitch in St. Clair. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. What do you got?
I agree with you. There's nothing we can do. We have to just go to the draft. Got to get a quarterback. I think the Deshaun Watson project is over with. I think that shoulder injury is way worse than what we thought. We was all thinking, like, maybe he comes back as Superman. No, that's not the case. I think that project is well done with. I think that you need to either get Shador, which I don't believe you can get, because Deion sees that we are in turmoil, and he's not going to want his son in this environment. So the next best thing would be Cam Ward, in my opinion. You got to grab a quarterback, because there's no way we're winning. I don't see us winning against Pittsburgh twice. I don't see us beating Cincy. I don't see us beating Baltimore again, because they're going to have some revenge on their mind. I don't see Kansas City, the Dolphins, who else we play. We are going to lose every game. So, be entertaining. Let's do what we did prior to 2018. We was rooting for the number one overall pick, Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield. We got Denzel Ward. We was happy about the draft. Let's get back to the roots. Because this right here, this is terrible. And you can't, like you said, we got no team. Not playing young players. I mean, I do like our wide receiver. I got him on my fantasy team. He's giving me numbers.
Keep putting him out there. No problem with that.
I like him on my fantasy team. I'm looking forward to the fantasy team because of him. Chubb doesn't have an offensive line. He's trying to get back to himself. His old self, I should say. It's just the situation that we're in. And we put ourselves in this situation. And I said we should keep Baker. And look at Baker now. I mean, this is – before I go, Peter Landon, before I go, I just want to say this. Everybody wanted to argue because they're still saying, oh, Baker's garbage, this Baker's garbage, that. All we had to do was, like, let him get the surgery. Deshaun Watson didn't even play a whole year, so you didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And now he's leading the league in touchdown passes, even without his two main wide receivers.
You got Watson out here when you had Amari Cooper. You got him so much help when you got him Jerry Jeudy, and you got Moore and drafted a wide receiver. And he, granted, Winston was terrible last week, but the week before he beat Baltimore. And your boy couldn't even put up 125, 150 yards per game. It's just sad. And I think the best thing for us people to do is just sit back and wait for a quarterback to come be our savior again. So sad.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Mitch. A double Peterlin drop. It's Jake Volnick on overtime right now. That's all right, though. If you want to hear more, JP, listen, anytime I get confused for JP, that's a nice tug on the heartstring, because we're doing something right if we got that, all right? At least the voice is similar. That's something good. But if you want to hear JP, afternoon drive from now on, that's where you go. But new segment I want to try out. We'll explain it when we come back. Jake Volnick right here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.